From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Did you maybe get or give a cookbook or two for a holiday gift? Well, hopefully you can make room on the shelf for another couple of good ones. Our expert guide who's been browsing and cooking from the latest crop is Alexandra Stafford, a.k.a. Allie, who has some goodies to share. Perfect fodder for another January of sticking close to home, as I know a lot of us are again, with cooking as one of our mainstays of comfort and creativity. More in a moment, but first, this message.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, the leading publisher in books that share wonders with the natural world, including A Way to Garden by Margaret Roach. The stunning guide imparts decades of plant wisdom and challenges readers to think beyond their garden borders and to consider the ways gardening can enrich the world. Available everywhere books are sold and at timberpress.com. They invite you to come grow with them.
Allie Stafford, author of the essential cookbook Bread, Toast, Crumbs, and creator of the website alexandracooks.com, is here today to highlight some of the recent cookbook titles that she's finding irresistible. Allie, are you ready to curate some of the latest ones for us and be our guide to what looks good?
I am. Hi.
Have you been cooking again over there, girl?
I have. I actually feel like I've been cooking more since the holidays, or cooking more new things since the holidays. I feel like around the holidays, I always get stuck in just the holiday staples, you know, everything, you know, leading up to the sort of big meals. And it feels really nice to kind of be back to just regular cooking again.
Yeah. And before we get started, I should say you have almost 200,000 Instagram followers at the moment. I was just like, wow, what's been going on over there? You with those great videos you post and so forth, those how-to videos, like before the holidays, you had a biscuit one that was so good. And, you know, you just do these like demystifying, you know, where you just take a technique or a pie crust, I think you had. Oh, that was a great one. Oh. And, you know, where you just like clarify it in these little short videos, they're so good. So,
Thank you. We'll give
people the link to that. But yeah, no wonder so many people are following you.
Oh,
now, does that mean you're an influencer and I have to salute you or something like that?
No, I'm allergic to that word.
Okay, good. So you're at Alexandra Cooks on Instagram. And we're going to have some giveaways. I'm going to give away a couple of the books we're going to talk about, some that have sort of a vegetarian slant. And you're going to do a giveaway on your blog, too, with a transcript of, you know, we have the show posted on the weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to give away one of a membership to your virtual garden club, which is so exciting.
Oh, you're crazy.
No,
oh, that's so sweet, though. Well, we're in the thick of it. And it's fun to have people signing up and so forth. So thank you. That's great. We can give details about that. So, yeah,
great. But
let's get down to it then. You know, the last pandemic winter, you were teaching virtual cooking classes and I bought tickets for my extended family. We all had a blast. And I always look for your gift ideas and recommendations around Christmas time, you know, great cookbooks you recommend and tools and stuff. And so you've been browsing and trying recipes from where do you want to begin? What are some of your highlights?
Yeah, well, I feel like maybe, and I hate to sound cliche, but because it's January and so many people are kind of trying to reset and eat more healthy, whatever that looks like to them. I think that two great books that everybody would be happy adding to their libraries are Jenny Rosenstruck's The Weekday Vegetarians and Heidi Swanson's Supernatural Simple. Both are vegetarian cookbooks and both are really simple. You know, I think that's the emphasis is simple. I think people really need simple recipes, especially if they want to stick to, you know, a healthy eating plan. It has to feel doable and not overwhelming. And I think what has really struck me about the recipes in both of these books is that they are short ingredient lists, but they're really flavorful. And they've, you know, a bunch of the recipes in each of the books have become staples for me and kid friendly as well, which has been really nice.
Yeah. And so Jenny is dinneralovestory.com is her website and a matching book that was like kind of a memoir-y cookbook.
Yes.
And she's, you know, done really well, very popular. And actually on your recommendation, as I said, I always look at your Christmas gifts ideas. I gave this book to my niece and her girlfriend for Christmas, among other things, including that crazy rectangular deep dish pizza pan. You're laughing already. That you can make Detroit style pizza. And I got that recipe from your blog and gave that to them. And they were like, oh, auntie, this looks amazing.
That's so cute.
The idea that you put like not just oil the pan, but put a little butter and oil in the pan and it makes a really crispy crust. Wow. Oh,
so good. Yeah. That Lloyd baking pan, I can't recommend enough. It's such a good one to have on hand.
Yeah. So they loved it. So anyway, so that's who Jenny is. She's dinneraloveStory.com. And Heidi is probably one of the first food bloggers I ever met. I mean, she's been at it almost 20 years.
Yeah. Same.
700 recipes on her site. 2 James Beard Awards, New York Times bestselling book, blah, blah, blah. I mean, and the interesting thing is she was in San Francisco forever and ever, and now she's down by LA, and she's a member of a community garden. So she's in the gardening fold now, which is beautiful.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a hero. I think she's amazing. 101cookbooks.com is her website.
Yeah. No, same for me. She was one of the first blogs I ever followed. And yeah, what I think is interesting also about both of these books is they come from two different perspectives. Heidi's longtime vegetarian. She's been at it for a really long time. And Jenny is a longtime omnivore. You know, she writes that she was basically, you know, cooking meat for her family 5 times a week. And it was really just one day kind of struck her. She was like, we have to stop eating so much meat for our health and for the planet. So it's almost like Heidi's is like a sort of a streamlined of her process to become, you know, sort of more simple vegetarian. And Jenny's is this sort of overhaul, but also very simple. What I've always appreciated about her recipes are they're very no nonsense. And so she's all about, you know, using canned chickpeas or using store-bought pizza dough, you know, whatever it is to make it simple and doable. And you know, I think they both also, what both of these books do, they sort of give you like, kind of like a game plan, but they just give you strategies. Like you don't have to necessarily, if you love chicken Caesar salad, you don't have to say goodbye to chicken Caesar salad. You can replace the chicken, this is a recipe in Jenny's book, with, you know, crispy chickpeas, and which arguably are tastier than chicken. So it's, it doesn't even really become a sacrifice. It's just, it's familiar, without the meat. And what Heidi's book has helped me do is like stock my freezer. One of the tips she gives is to use the freezer, which I know you are someone who's very good about doing that.
And yes, I'm a freezer queen. Definitely. Totally.
Yeah. 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 And not just by freezing, you know, I know you make like lentils ahead of time and freeze them, but I have been stashing frozen vegetables, which is something I have not done in the past. But Heidi has this recipe for crispy garlic artichoke hearts. I forget exactly how she titles it. And they are so delicious. And the recipe, it's so simple. You heat a couple tablespoons of olive oil in a skillet, dump in this bag of frozen artichoke hearts, put the lid on, cook it over sort of medium high heat for 6 to 7 minutes, uncover it. The artichokes at this point are getting kind of crispy and brown on the bottom. Dump in a bunch of garlic and sea salt, and that's it. You could squeeze some lemon over top if you want. And they're so delicious. It's like kind of mind blowing to me how much I love artichokes, but I am like unwilling to prep them.
So like these are frozen artichokes.
Yes. Frozen. Yes.
Oh, cool. I didn't know.
Huh. Artichoke hearts. Yeah, I didn't even know. And I think they're not every store carries them, but they're becoming much more readily available. And I've had a stash on them on hand ever since. And it just knowing that I can get a vegetable side dish on the table in under 10 minutes is so nice. And then the other recipe that I've been making from that book that my kids love, it's called Everybody's Favorite Fried Rice. And Heidi says it's a recipe she makes for when her friends with kids come over, but it's something that everybody loves. And it's really been true. And it's so simple. You like saute some carrots, add rice. I've been making like big batches of brown rice in the Instant Pot, so I have it on hand. And, frozen peas, a little soy sauce, a little sesame oil, garlic. It's so fast. And the kids like gobble it up. So it's good.
Oh, that's great. That's, and I'm glad to hear that you're making rice in your Instant Pot. I've been cooking 2 cups of brown rice, of some kind of brown rice, once a week on usually Sundays, I make two cups. When I say two cups dry.
Yes.
So four cups of, or three and a half, 4 cups of water. And, you know, that's my thing that I do on Sunday. And, yes. and then I eat that during the week. You know, I'm just one person. So that's enough for me for the week to have rice every day. So, yeah. And so, so important, I think, to get grains into our diet. And even if we have to shortcut like that, if we're not going to cook it every night, that's okay.
Right.
Better than skipping it.
Totally. No, exactly. Yeah. I've been doing, using my Instant Pot a lot for short grain brown rice. Same thing. I have to cup. If I cook one cup, it's not enough. It goes by too fast. So 2 cups. And then I've been using my slow cooker a lot for beans. I'll dump them in at night then cook them overnight. And it's so, first of all, the kitchen smells amazing when you wake up. And then you have a stash of, you know, like 6 cups of beans on hand in the morning and to use. So it's, and both of these books, what is great about them, I think sometimes vegetarian recipes can rely on like lots of carbs and cheese, and these recipes don't. They're loaded with vegetables, beans, grains, you know, and so that's really just like really healthy and, but super tasty vegetarian cooking.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from there we go to.
Okay, so another great book with super simple recipes is Big Little Recipes by Emma LaPerouque from Food 52. She has a column that was started in 2018 on Food 52, also called Big Little Recipes. And all of her recipes are 5 ingredients or less, not including salt and pepper. And I love her approach. She quotes Marcella Hazan in her intro. She says, Marcella Hazan used to tell her students, what you leave out is just as important as what you put in. Uh-huh. And I think this idea is so often overlooked. Like I look at a recipe and I feel there are like about 7 ingredients too many, and I'll push forward anyway and make the recipe. And they probably weren't necessary. You know, more isn't always better. And another, Emma says, like, minimalist cooking is all about healthy skepticism. Do I really need 4 different herbs as a garnish? Probably not. If I'm out of vegetable stock, will water work? You bet. So I love her approach. I think she has such a good, she gives you kind of like almost like hacks. Like the first recipe I made from the book, which I loved, was, it's this super simple tuna melt, which I guess a tuna melt is sort of simple to begin with, but what she has you do is you take a can of artichoke hearts, drain it, you save the marinade, chop up the artichoke hearts, put them back in the marinade, add tuna, and then you just heap this on top of bread and broil it with cheese. You toast the bread first.
Uh-huh.
And the first time I made it, I remember we were starved. There was like, we had no time. The recipe came together in about 5 minutes and we were eating about 5 minutes later. And it was so tasty. And I was so grateful for her and this recipe and this book that's like filled with other, like she has this page of 6 super simple salad dressings, each with just like 2 to 3 ingredients.
And oh, good idea.
Yeah. She writes, if you can make cereal, you can make salad dressing, which I think is so funny. And just also just really encouraging. I think people think salad dressing is something that's intimidating, and it's not. And when you have a vat of salad dressing on hand, meals can come together so quickly.
I love the title, Big Little Recipes.
Totally. And she's really great. Lots of little, back to that artichoke, tuna melt, sorry. So the first time I made it, I just put it on English muffins and it was delicious, but she recommends brioche. I did that recently and it was so good. Like the little subtle sweetness of the brioche with the artichoke and tuna was delicious. And so that's another great one that people should check out. How are we on time? Should we move on?
Oh, we're fine. No, okay. No, go for it. Yeah. Okay. No, we're good. We're good.
Okay, great. So, another one I've been loving is Grains for Every Season by Joshua McFadden. I think probably a lot of your listeners, I think, have 6 seasons.
His last book was 6 seasons. Right. Right.
Yeah. And it's so good. And I feel like, and I haven't cooked as, I mean, I've cooked so many recipes from 6 seasons and I haven't quite made the same progress in this one yet, but it feels very familiar. So if you like, I love the way he writes recipes and the recipes all are just filled with lots of different flavors and textures. And I've, well, first of all, the book. So the goal of his book is to help you realize it doesn't take a lot of effort to incorporate whole grains into your cooking life. And he says he was not trying to write an encyclopedic book on grains. He was trying to write a useful and inspirational one. So he's limited the information to the grains he cooks the most frequently, which I really appreciate. I think that's pretty practical. So the book is organized alphabetically by grain from barley to wild rice. And yeah, and it's just, I mean, there are lots of delicious grain salads. In every section that he has this like a pilaf for every season, a grain bowl for every season, stir fry for every season, sheet pan for every season. And what I love about it is that it's there are six seasons, you know, like his last book. So
right,
that's really fun.
Well, and he's really connected. Like I mentioned, that Heidi Swanson was gardening now in her new, you know, has a community garden space in LA. He's involved with a farm. He's sort of revitalizing a historic 50-acre farm in Oregon. He's a chef, a restaurant chef, and he has a whole restaurant, a group of restaurants that he owns and manages. And so he's very connected to the land and the way things grow. So the food and farming connection. So yeah, so he's creating this agricultural complex at this farm and so forth. So, you know, it's very... you can tell that from the way that he cooks, that he understands the ingredients and honors the ingredients and relishes them, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So the two recipes I've made so far, one was a farro salad. Well, also just one thing I like about the book too, is like they're basic guides on how to cook the grains, but you don't, with every recipe, he still tells you how to do it. So you don't have to go back and say like, oh, how do I cook farro? It's like, you know, he tells you how to do it. And it's most of the recipes are, at least the farro and the wheat berries, it's, he has it, you cook it the way you would rice. So you add the farro and the water and the salt together, bring it to a simmer, cover, and keep it covered for, you know, 30, depending on what kind, if you're using pearled or semi-pearled or whatever. Cook it for 30 to 40 minutes and it cooks. I was kind of astonished how perfectly cooked it was. Usually I've just been boiling farro and salted water and then kind of,
oh, and then draining it off.
Yeah. And testing it periodically until it's done. And farro I think is really forgiving. It's not as unforgiving as, you know, rice can, you know, can sometimes be a little tricky, but farro is pretty easy, but still it was so nice. I opened the lid after 35 minutes, the farro was perfectly cooked. All the water had been absorbed. And then I love this one. I loved in particular, it had sun-dried tomatoes, pepperoncini, red onion, lots of parsley, an Italian vinaigrette, salami. You could definitely leave out the salami if you wanted to, but it sort of tasted like a chopped salad, but it was with farro. And then he also said, if you wanted to bulk it up, you could add it with lettuce. So I did that. And it was nice because it made like a decent amount. But I could also see if you just left out the lettuce, this is the kind of salad that would keep well in the fridge, you know, for days. So for people who like to meal prep, this is like a great, like, make ahead salad.
Well, and that's the point you were just mentioning, the grains and salad. And we have a friend who has a restaurant near us, David Worth. And, you know, he's always plating his salads with a sort of grain on the side, you know, there. And, you know, I think that's something else, you know, if you have that pot of grain, if you've made some quinoa or you've made some whatever, they do well with a little dressing on them and with the greens. The texture is different. It adds some oomph, you know, to the meal. It makes it into a meal. And I think we, most of us don't do that. Don't think about that. And it's a great idea to do that.
No, it makes all the difference. I was not too long ago, I had like nothing to make and I had like leftover Caesar dressing and romaine and I threw in the dressing and then threw on like some tuna and that was it. And it was so bad. It was so unfulfilling because there wasn't anything bulky or substantial. And since that moment, I've kind of had like a stash of rice or chickpeas on hand because just throwing those in makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, so where's what next?
Okay. Yeah. So I know people are, they may be baked out, but I think just two of the baking
baked books, out.
Yeah. two of the baking books that I've loved are Valerie Lomas's Life Is What You Bake It and Jesse, and I'm totally going to botch his last name. I don't know if
it's
you say
Sevcek.
Sevcek. Okay, great.
Jesse Sevcek. Yeah.
Okay. Cookies. They are just really fun. Just really, I feel like uplifting. I every time I flip through them, I want to make all of the recipes. So Valerie, if people don't know, so she won the Great American Baking Show. I didn't watch, and this won't ruin it for your readers because it's in the, she says this in the first paragraph of the intro, but the show was canceled before they revealed the winner.
Oh.
And yeah, so there was a lot of, I don't want to tell, the introduction is just a great read in general about her whole story, growing up in Louisiana and moving to Los Angeles for college. She was an attorney and then she, you know, quit law so that she could pursue baking. So it's a great story. Yeah, and there, I had no idea that the show was canceled. So that was interesting to read. But she's very like just cheerful and positive, and the recipes are just fun. One of the recipes I made shortly after getting the book was the blueberry buckle, and It's so fun. You take a stick of butter, you melt it in a loaf pan as the oven is preheating. In the meantime, you make the batter, which does not include eggs. So it's super simple. She calls for self-rising flour, but if you don't have it, she tells you how to make the regular, you know, add baking powder and salt to your flour. It's like very simple, sugar, vanilla. I forget what else.
Blueberries.
Yeah, that's it. So you pull the pan out of the oven, pour the batter in, top it with blueberries, and it's just exactly as it sounds. The batter buckles around the fruit. It really slumps in the middle. It sinks. It's supposed to. It's not supposed to be this perfect cake that's, you know, even on top. And you serve it with vanilla ice cream, and it's just so good. And I used frozen blueberries, and it was delicious. And I have so many other recipes bookmarked. She has a pound cake that looks delicious, a red velvet sheet cake. I have so many sweet potatoes from my CSA that I'm still working through. And there's a sweet potato waffle recipe that I'm so excited to make. That's a fun one.
And then cookies. And Jesse Sevcek's cookies. Yes,
cookies. So the first recipe I made was the brown butter snickerdoodles.
Oh.
With bourbon.
Wait a minute. Did he put the bourbon in or you put the bourbon in? Who's the bourbon?
He put the bourbon in, and okay. They have been like a smashing success. I can't tell how many people just like absolutely love them. So it's in his book. They're just, all of the recipes are like familiar, but a little bit different. So Campari shortbread, preserved lemon crinkles, chocolate tahini bars. That's another one I've been loving. It's a no bake recipe. So you mix tahini with crushed graham crackers, a little vanilla and melted butter, press that into a pan. Then you make a chocolate ganache and spread that over. And then you top it with sesame seeds and then you chill it. And then, so I just have this square in the fridge and I just keep like cutting off little squares as I walk by. And it's like the tahini is so...
Tahini is an underrated ingredient.
Especially in baked goods.
Yes.
And it's just, it's really, it's nice. It's, I don't know. I'm really loving it. So I have lots of more recipes in that book to make, and it's just inspiring.
He's one of the reviews of that book of Cookies, the New Classics, a baking book, called him a cookie mastermind. And he's a top flight food stylist. Yes. I think he's New York based, and he's a well-known, very in-demand food stylist as well. So beautiful book.
Yeah. If he did the food styling for the book, you can tell the photos are beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another thing, I know I mentioned this chocolate tahini bars, but again, they were no bake. And the thing I loved about the brown butter snickerdoodles, also, I didn't have to use a mixer because you brown the butter, the butter's melted.
Right.
So it becomes this almost like a one bowl, recipe. And yeah, just super easy, super delicious.
So in the last 1 minute, I'm just going to tell you, besides that I'm excited about your Detroit style pizza, which I have my niece, et cetera, making, but a farmer the other day was telling me he was, he's actually a seed farmer, and he was scooping the seeds out to prepare for eventually selling from squash. He has a lot of winter squash. And he said, and I made biscuits with winter squash in them, and I bake a lot with winter. So have you done that? Have you used winter squash flesh, roasted winter squash in baking?
I have used it in a pie. I have a roasted butternut squash pie. This was basically like a pumpkin pie, but uses the butternut squash.
But not in the crust, not in a baked good.
Not in the crust and not in a baked good. And
I'm going to find out more about this and give you the assignment because I want to know. He says it's fabulous in like biscuits and stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. No, that's
the dough.
In grains for every season, I believe there's a recipe, like a millet recipe that also calls for roasted squash. I could be wrong. And then also Lucas Wolger, who you've had on a few times or maybe once, but he has a roasted squash quick bread, I think, recipe that he's done. And ever since, yeah, I keep seeing them pop up and I've been meaning to try this.
Well, I'm making that, as I said, your assignment. Allie Stafford from alexandracooks.com and author of Bread, Toast, Crumbs. And we're going to have giveaways. I'll give the info with the transcript of the show on awaytogarden.com, and you'll have something on your website. And we'll talk soon again, I hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, the leading publisher in books that share wonders with the natural world, including A Way to Garden by Margaret Roach. The stunning guide imparts decades of plant wisdom and challenges readers to think beyond their garden borders and to consider the ways gardening can enrich the world. Available everywhere books are sold and at timberpress.com. They invite you to come grow with them.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy baking and cooking and gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.